Welcome to Gavin Gilmore. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Catherine.
We are sisters, moms, and in our humble opinion, Gilmore Girls experts.
So grab a turntable.
And your Joy Division album.
As we stroll through Stars Hollow. Before we start, if you love the podcast and you've been listening for a little while, would you take a moment while you're listening to leave us a review on Apple? It helps us reach more Gilmore superfans, and we would truly appreciate it. Hey, townies.
Hello.
How's it going, Jack?
Good. How about you?
Good. I'm so excited to be discussing one of our favorite characters today.
Yeah, we've had a lot of requests for this one.
We have Lane Kim. Now, we've touched on Lane a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Especially in the one about Rory's friendship. Mm-hmm. Is she a good friend?
Exactly.
But we haven't really done a Lane Kim deep dive yet. So here it is, people.
This is going to be our deepest dive because we have multiple episodes planned.
We do. We decided it's going to take three parts to fully do justice to Lane and really discuss her.
We're going all in here.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to kind of go with her story arc. I'd say this is more chronologically than maybe any other character.
Yeah, we thought that was important.
So part one today is about Lane's repression. And then in part two, we're going to get into her rebellion.
Okay, exciting.
Yeah. So the whole thing is still kind of taking shape, but
yeah,
we'll keep forming it when we hear your comments too.
True.
All right. So let's get into it.
Okay. So yeah, we were talking about chronological. So where did Lane come from? You know, what is her environment when she's growing up? We thought we should spend some time looking at that because of course that shapes us all.
It sure does.
Right? So we know that Mrs. Kim is a huge influence in Lane's life. I mean, there's no way around that.
Right. It's her only family member who we see, really. Her only nuclear family member.
Right.
She doesn't have any siblings. For the course of the show, she doesn't have a dad, even though he randomly pops up in a year in the life.
Yeah.
It's cute, but like, she really doesn't have a dad.
No.
So she has Mrs. Kim.
Yeah. They're definitely dependent on each other. And
oh my gosh, do you know what I just realized?
What
is Mrs. Kim's first name?
Oh my gosh,
do we ever find out?
Wait,
we have no idea. Gosh.
No, everyone calls her Mrs. Kim.
This is like an Entourage when they had Mrs. Ari, or like in Sex and the City when they had Mr. Big,
right?
And they didn't really like tell us until, again, it was like a sequel or a spinoff or a movie.
You know who never told us?
Oh my gosh,
the Big Bang Theory has Penny, and we never got a last name, and then it became very intentional.
Really? Penny never had a last name?
No, never.
That just hit me.
Oh my gosh.
That just kind of blew my mind.
Okay, so we definitely have gaps in what we know about Mrs. Kim.
Yes,
so
we don't even know her name.
We know a lot.
Oh my gosh.
And she's a strong personality.
She is.
She gives us a lot when she's on screen. Mm-hmm. But okay, so there's definitely some things we don't know about her. And there are also some things we don't know about her past, and we get like little bits of information, and some of them are somewhat conflicting here and there, like when she came to the country, when was she married, you know, those types of things.
I do love the drips and drabs that we get about things that she's done in her past, though, are very funny.
It is. Yeah. She's definitely interesting. And you can sort of see like where Lane came from in some ways, even though they appear so different. But, you know, again, like she is a strong personality. And we've talked about her even a little bit in some of our motherhood episodes.
Yes.
You know, and how she acted as a mother. So we did explore that. Yep. But we just wanted to talk too about like, you know, when you're a parent, you have certain values, right, that you end up parenting from and for different reasons.
Yeah.
So for Mrs. Kim, we just felt like between her religion, the Seventh-day Adventist, and her culture, the Korean American culture, those two influences impacted heavily how she parented Lane.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, like how Lane had to manage her own life under those two influences. Yeah. They're pretty significant. They have like a lot of dogma and expectations. And, you know, with the Korean American culture, there is a heavy influence on authority of first the fathers and then also wives' obedience. I would say even like obedience is a big word.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, Lane is continuously expected to be obedient to her mother and follow the rules. So that seems to be a huge influence and expectation.
Yeah. And right? See, that's kind of fascinating because can you envision Mrs. Kim being obedient to anyone? You know, like if there was a Mr. Kim on the scene.
Right.
I think so much of why Mrs. Kim was able to take the lead is because she was raising Lane alone and she was very used to being in control.
Right.
And she kind of embraced that. Right. Like we see it in her business and in the way she runs family holidays.
Yes.
Like she's the authority and she's very comfortable with that.
She is.
So if there was a man on the scene, I wonder.
I'd see
the only taste we get of that is when Mrs. Kim's mother comes to town.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
For Lane's wedding.
And maybe that's why
she is obedient.
Yes. And maybe that's why she had to get away from her mother.
Yeah.
Because the expectations that she would be obedient were too high for her to follow. So that's where I think it's interesting that there's a parallel with Lane's life.
It is.
That maybe isn't as explored, but I love that they bring her mother in for that episode
to
give us a taste.
That was so good. They did.
Like, ooh.
It's like we needed that for Mrs. Kim to be a more three-dimensional character.
But then, you know, but at the same time that Mrs. Kim is generally the one in charge, we do see that she has community around her.
She does.
So there is this concept of, you know, the Korean-American culture. Actually, I was reading that there are a lot of churches for Korean-Americans, which are really supportive and provide community. We don't see Mrs. Kim being a part of that church, which I think is interesting.
Mm.
Rather, she's in the Seventh-day Adventist, and we never get an understanding as to why. So that's a question for me, how she ended up in that church.
Right.
And it became so important to her.
Probably her own rebellion.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that she still managed to connect with other Korean-Americans at the Seventh-day Adventist religion.
True.
So she still nurtured that community and found her own community.
Right. So she would often
created it.
Like you said, like be the host of whether it was a marriage, you know, or holidays or those type of things. So she's definitely cultivating that community versus maybe not assimilating as much into the Stars Hollow community.
Yeah.
Like all the other characters who are just like so involved in
Like we don't really see Mrs. Kim at that many town events.
No,
she's not. She hasn't chosen that as her focus. Mm-hmm. Like she's created this other community and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I like how that has probably set a precedent for Lane to also care about community wherever it is that she's going to find that.
Right. Because Lane then has to figure out her own, in a way, like her own assimilation into Stars Hollow, into like high school, you know. So she has Rory and that does a lot for her and in her life and her childhood. But then we have these influences from her mother where she has all these restrictions on what she can eat, what she can do, where she can go, who she can date.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. So she's like balancing these two worlds.
Strict.
And the other thing that was interesting that we were talking about is how like Mrs. Kim really had this focus on restrictions in a way for Lane, right? And this obedience. But what about what Mrs. Kim envisioned for Lane's future? Like generally we think about parents being like, when they have high expectations, it being future oriented, like I expect this from you. I want you to grow up and do this. What did we see really from Mrs. Kim in terms of Lane's future?
I know. I mean, we hear her tell Lorelai, I just want her to be safe. Mm. And she used that word. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like modern day, you hear a lot of parents saying, I just want my kids to be happy.
True.
Which, like, you know, is happiness the goal? I don't, we could debate that too.
Right.
But that's not Mrs. Kim's
no
main goal.
No,
She's not really looking for Lane's happiness.
No.
Or fulfillment. She's like, I just want Lane to be safe.
Yeah.
And that's a legit concern.
It is.
As a parent, it is. But yeah, in terms of career aspirations, no.
Yeah.
We don't really hear much about that.
Yeah.
We only hear it in terms of who she wants Lane to date and their career aspirations. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's like the only focus is on who Lane is going to marry or who she should marry.
Are they
going to
be a doctor? Lane jokes around, oh, they're setting me up with a chiropractor or like a future chiropractor. Her, you know, her aspirations for me must be slipping. She kind of jokes about that, or like a dentist, right. Or I forget what it is. It's someone, you know, it's like,
oh, that's interesting. So it's like the aspiration is through the person she's going to marry, which is a little bit surprising. I would expect a little bit more from Mrs. Kim, given that she's a business owner and came to this country and is a strong woman. And so you would think there'd be a little bit more
relying on a man.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was, maybe Mrs. Kim experienced that as a hard road. I mean, strong people can look strong and be struggling.
And still have, absolutely. So, it almost would have been cool if they had never put, you know, Mr. Kim into a year in the life and instead kind of, I don't know, focused in on a way of like, they don't do flashbacks, but wouldn't it have been cool? We only get, a flashback of Lorelai once, but wouldn't it have been cool to see a flashback of Mrs. Kim, like coming to the U.S. or leaving a man behind in South Korea? Yeah. And like, what was that journey for her? Right. Maybe it's as you said, maybe that was a really hard part of raising Lane. And so she just wants Lane to have that security.
Yeah, exactly. And not have to struggle. Mm-hmm. Maybe she sees her life as a struggle.
As having to struggle. Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though she doesn't let on to that.
Because it's not easy owning a business when you don't know how much furniture people are going to buy in a given day or week or month. And that can really change based on the economy and what's going on in the world. Right.
Yeah. The seasons. Yeah. Like, it's a small town, you know. Yeah. That's a huge challenge. Yeah. And so we don't really know like what her expectations are other than marriage.
Yeah. I mean, I will say it seemed like she expected Lane to get good grades.
I was going to say she does seem to focus on school, but just like in the present moment, not as like a reason to an end, I guess, or to another like next step.
Yeah. More like are you just checking the box and are you doing what you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
So we can cross that off the list.
Is it obedience?
Yeah.
Because like, what is the point of obedience if you don't have this goal in mind of like, why are we being obedient?
Mm-hmm. Here's an alternate theory. Mm. Do you think Mrs. Kim kind of knew that Lane had a rebellious streak underneath? Mm. And so maybe that's why she focused on just have good grades and have a good husband. And the rest is going to take care of itself. Because maybe she figured, you know what? Lane probably will fly the coop one day. Is that the right term?
Yeah, I think so.
And move to a big city and try something bigger than Stars Hollow. So I just want to make sure she has the foundations in place in case that goes wrong.
And maybe if our theory about Mrs. Kim being rebellious is true, then she is potentially thinking that Lane might be the same, and she wants to like support her until that happens, kind of like what you're saying, like expecting it.
Yes,
like some inkling.
Yeah, like so if I can just lay the groundwork and make sure she has a good GPA coming out of high school and you know some connections to the Korean community and some nice boys, kind of like that's the best I can do to prepare her. And if she does turn out to be a rebel and you know, does her own thing, at least she can fall back on that someday.
Right.
I don't know. Like, just thought of it.
That's interesting because when Mrs. Kim does discover, and I guess we'll talk more about this in later episodes, but when she does discover that Lane, in fact, has been rebelling, over time, she does come to support Lane, even though initially it's quite a shock.
Yeah.
But over time, she does support her. So maybe she did expect it to some degree.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
It was just hard to get there.
Yeah. The other thing that was interesting with Mrs. Kim's expectations of Lane is that she didn't really seem to expect her to do any domestic tasks around the house. Like, we never see her saying, go make dinner.
Not a whole
lot. Go do the laundry.
Yeah, I feel like we see Lane. I was just watching an episode where they were, like, cleaning furniture together. Mm. But it was right after Kyle's party. So we're going to get to that in part two.
And that could be for the business.
It was for the business. Like, yeah, so I think she was kind of helping out, maybe just like expected to do that stuff.
Right.
The only time we really hear that is when she comes over with the band for, was it
Korean New Year?
I think. Yeah. And Mrs. Kim is like, you don't even offer to help with the dishes.
That's right.
That's not how I raised you.
True.
You know, so I wonder if there's more that Lane does behind the scenes that we don't see.
You would think, just given, again, like the expectations of obedience and how you behave,
yeah,
and that Mrs. Kim would probably need help around the house.
Right.
And we often put those expectations on females.
Right.
So it just seems to make sense.
But they don't show it a whole lot.
No, the expectation she has more like she wants Lane to hand out flyers.
That's right.
It's almost more like, in a way, philanthropic. I mean, I don't know if that'd be philanthropic, yeah, but it's like,
yeah, it's like for the community, for the church,
help the church, and
yeah, so like we never see Lane making dinner,
right? But Mrs. Like Kim talks about
baking
making
wheat balls,
yeah, pressing tofu. Right. Can we know something about tofu?
Exactly.
And
the whole conversation is funny because like neither of us eat meat. But I do love how they play on that
totally.
With Mrs. Kim and kind of poke fun at,
totally.
You know, like when she got that big delivery of flaxseed.
Oh, flaxseed.
Oh, yeah, and okra.
No, okra's actually, I think okra's gross. But then I thought maybe
I wouldn't know what to do with okra, would you?
No, I tried once and it was really mushy and I vowed I would never buy it again. Flaxseed muffins.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like I've made those.
I would try making flaxseed. I make like a mean lactation cookie that has flaxseed in it.
Who are you giving these to?
Every time I have a friend who makes a baby.
That's cute.
I mean.
I love this.
That came out really funny because I was thinking I was going to make them the cookies. Okay, let me start again. Every time I have a friend who has a baby.
I mean, you do make a baby. You're not wrong.
But I'm not there for that. Every time someone has a baby, I try to bring them lactation cookies.
That's adorable.
Yeah. Like,
they have flaxseed.
I don't really frame it as lactation cookies, but just like, here's some like energy bites for your
making milk
journey.
You're welcome.
Because I loved them when I was nursing. And FYI, awesome. I still eat them today. You don't have to be.
Right. They're not going to do anything to you.
You're not to be nursing. Yeah, it's not going to like create milk where there's none.
Sorry, people.
Anyway, they're yummy. If anyone wants my recipe, just
ask.
Yeah. Okay.
You should post it.
Everyone thinks I'm weird now. It's
I
okay.
Love it. Well, how do we get this back on track? So Henry, no, I don't know. I just
I have no idea where we were.
Yeah, we were talking about like food and domestic tasks and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just it was interesting, you know, that was kind of left out of her expectations.
It was. So that brings us to another point, which is discipline.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Mrs. Kim, like the way that Lane experienced discipline.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty intensely, like... Mrs. Kim would dole out the harshest of punishments, which was almost like total isolation.
I know. Remember,
you know?
She kept her home from school that
one
time.
Yes.
Although it was with she called the school and said she was going to homeschool Lane for a few days. Do you think she actually homeschooled
her? I think
her?
Like maybe she got the homework and was like,
yeah,
do this.
I bet she made her write a bunch of essays.
Probably.
Like, write an essay on this.
Yeah.
Write an essay on that. Just to keep her busy.
Yeah.
And
but, like, solitary confinement is kind of a little intense.
And it was sad.
And
remember she was making phone calls to, like, Psalm a day.
Yeah. Yes.
Remember? As Psalm as in P-S-A-L-M. And she was really mad when there wasn't a new one.
Yeah,
so Mrs. Kim clearly used like authoritarian parenting, and it was you do anything out of line, you get a punishment.
Yeah.
And they were
even, like, to the point of checking up on Lane. You know, like even if she thought Lane was at Rory's house, she would still be kind of aware of like, is she there?
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to know for certain that she was.
Yeah.
And it's a small town. So, you know,
yeah,
she had more likelihood of finding her out and about if Lane wasn't doing what she was supposed to be doing. But
yeah,
she definitely wanted to know exactly where she was at all times.
Yeah. And I found that conversation between her and Lorelai very telling after the double date.
Mm.
When Lorelai says, you know, it doesn't always work to just kind of lock them up and throw away the key. And because, you know, Lorelai had been through that as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was trying to share that with Mrs. Kim. So Lorelai definitely took the approach of like, let's talk about things. And
yes,
she had a child who sort of punished herself and didn't really almost need it as much.
It's very true.
But for Lane, it was just straight up punishment.
No
questions. Stay in your room.
Yeah.
no phone,
no,
you know, that type of thing.
I was even surprised when she punished her so much for Henry, because I know like the punishment really was about the lying.
It was.
But when Mrs. Kim then finds out that Henry is Korean, I thought she might kind of change a little bit there. And she doesn't. You see her soften, like, oh,
well, she's like, should Korean? I call his, should I call his parents?
Like, maybe we could do something with this.
Funniest line of that episode. Should I call his parents?
Let's make this happen.
No, Mrs. K, the damage is done.
And Lane is still punished after that. Like, it didn't matter. It didn't end up mattering that Henry was Korean.
Right, and that he was a perfect husband candidate. Because he really was.
I know.
Oh, Henry.
The other one I find so funny, we only hear about this when Lane tells the story to Rory, that there was some Christmas, I think it was, that she gave her mother perfume.
That's right.
And she says, like, gifts can be dangerous. And this is her example. Because I gave my mom perfume. And I'm thinking, like, this means I love you and you deserve something nice. And Mrs. Kim sees it as sex juice. And punishes her.
Did we include that in our Gifts of Gilmore Girls awards for, like, most poorly received gift? Or did we forget it?
We forgot. You know, and probably because it is more of a story than something that we see.
True, true.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then she's punished and sent to Bible camp.
Oh, my gosh.
Punished for giving a gift.
Right.
So, I mean, that's intense.
That's like, pretty that's intense.
Fear
so that, it does. So,
mom.
Like, that brings up the question is, like, how do you think, we've talked about Mrs. Kim a lot so far, but now let's go into Lane more about how do you think this sort of repression has shaped Lane's personality and her values? Because knowing that you could get punished for giving a gift, I think will make a child very fearful.
I would think so. Well, and that's another way to get them to really submit to what you want, right? And I think we see with Lane that she actually says this time and again, that she wants to please her mother.
She does say
and that.
That
rings through.
Yeah.
And because I feel like with someone like Lane, if you have that level of expectations and punishment put on you all those years, she would end up almost more like Lorelai, like out of there. And I don't even mean the pregnancy component.
Yeah.
I just mean like looking for any out to get out of that house.
Or Liz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get that impression from Lane.
No.
Until she has like a real reason.
Yes.
But up until, and even when she has the band reason, she still wants to please her mother and make
she
it
does.
Work between the two of them. So it seems
she
like
does.
Despite all of that, right, like her upbringing and what could be viewed as conflict between the two of them, or what could have been conflict.
Yeah.
Lane kind of submits.
Yeah.
She wants to please. She wants to have a relationship with her mom. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I think she doesn't want to totally destroy that relationship the way Lorelai was okay with not speaking to her parents.
Right.
It seems like Lane wants to keep Mrs. Kim in the mix and maybe have that family support, because she doesn't leave the house right away after high school graduation, whereas many kids in that position would. Maybe there's a part of her that likes having the safety and reliability of her mom and her home just there.
I would say so. And it's almost like Lorelai needed to other her parents so that she could be her own person, and she had to like completely separate the two.
Yeah.
Whereas Lane seems to want both. Yeah. Like, she wants the things she wants, but she still wants to be in this relationship with her mom.
Maybe she's more of a peacemaker.
I think so. Oh, actually, I was just watching an episode after CBGB's.
Oh, yeah.
And she's at Yale with Rory.
Oh, yes.
And
I was watching that one, too.
Like, it's so like, oh, yeah.
So sad.
There's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so heartfelt, too, because she says something to Rory like, I have no spine. I'm weak.
Oh,
and that was really, and it kind of goes by fast, and I felt like I hadn't really noticed it until that moment.
Same.
And I think that's telling. It's like, to me, that means she does want to stand up a little more.
Yeah.
And want to be her own person.
Yeah.
But she just doesn't know how to go about it. And like you said, is maybe more of that people pleaser.
Yeah.
And so it makes her feel weak.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Lane.
I know.
And it's probably compounded by learning over and over throughout childhood that your wants and your needs are bad and wrong yeah. and not really allowed. And they don't really matter that much.
Yeah, that's really hard. Like the things like when we hear her tell the story about Cookie Monster, about mm-hmm. Mrs. Kim identifying yeah. Cookie Monster yeah. as one of the seven deadly sins,
yeah.
gluttony. Yeah. And that stood out to Lane. Like that stuck with her.
It was like something kind of clicked with her. Maybe not clicked. Maybe yeah. it was more of just like a subtle hint or flag that kind of went up in her brain.
Yeah.
Being like, wait a minute. I like Sesame Street. This seems like it's for kids. Yeah. It seems like it's okay.
It seems not bad.
It's like, why is my mom making such a big deal of it?
Yeah. And really like labeling it questioning as a bad thing.
Mm.
Kind
mm-hmm.
of that like black and white. Like this yeah. is bad.
Right.
And these things are okay or good.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. And like Lane, as far as we know, I mean, you could argue enrichment for kids is like much more popular than mm-hmm. it was then, but I'd
for sure.
And maybe that's not something in Mrs. Kim's culture really mm-hmm. mattered for kids, but we don't like Lane doesn't, I don't know, go to swimming or right. like, I mean, she plays in the band.
She does.
But
yeah.
like, we don't know of anything else that she mm-hmm. has done as kind of enrichment or a hobby that maybe
point.
Mrs. Kim ever supported her to do.
Right. Again, because that's sort of like investing in your kid's future yeah. in a way. Like
right.
you're trying to help them develop as a person
mm-hmm.
and help them become an adult. Like, isn't that
and a
why
unique
we're
individual?
Parenting? Yeah. Like, find yourself, find the things you're good at, find the things you love,
yeah.
and I'll help you.
And I don't think being a unique individual was high on her list
so.
Of important things.
If we go back to the values that she's parenting from, they are not
no.
high on that list. That Lane even found things on her own is pretty cool. Like
it is.
And such a love of something like music.
Right.
And she didn't just love listening to music. Like she wanted to know everything about it, read about it.
True.
She wanted to know every detail about every band. And then once she's able to actually play instruments, like, you know, you said she's in the Stars Hollow High Band. But when she mm-hmm. finds the drums, this is like a life changing moment. It all comes together for her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a true passion.
It is.
I mean, she could have been like taking piano lessons all those years or violin or I don't know, something
yeah.
like.
Yeah. She did play something in the marching
what
band.
Did she play? I know. It was
yeah.
like a
why do I forget
horn,
the instrument?
Right.
I think it was. I think it was some kind of brass.
Yeah.
Not
I'm
positive.
Not, I'm not good at
but
at
isn't it amazing how she managed to amass such a large collection
yes.
of CDs with it all being in secret? Because I was thinking yeah. about how many CDs I had at that age.
Yeah.
And it definitely wasn't as many.
No way.
And that was with help from our parents.
Seriously.
Like they would give us some for Christmas
right.
and birthdays or, you know, friends would give them to you. I mean,
yeah.
no one could give Lane a CD
no.
and have Mrs. Kim be okay with it.
And we had jobs. We babysat.
And,
like, she
right.
didn't do any of that stuff. Where
I know.
She
I was
get
like,
money?
Where did she get the money?
Yeah. We don't know. That's maybe, a loophole.
That is. And maybe Mrs. Kim gave her a little bit for helping in the...
Maybe.
Gave her an allowance for helping in the store.
Yeah.
Not sure, but...
Yeah. And then, like, you know, some of those values, too. It's interesting to see what... Lane kept with her
yes
even like through high school
yeah
and into adulthood and which ones she was willing to shed
yeah like she was okay and maybe happy with keeping some of the values that Mrs. Kim
yeah
taught her
education
bestowed upon.
Yeah,
yeah
some of these things
and then other ones she was okay to stray from them a little bit
mm-hmm.
you know like I think with as you said the junk food
yeah.
and the music even like television
right like media
she was okay like you know kind of just having whatever food with Lorelai and Rory
yes
french fries pizza
right. Because you actually see when Keong came
mm-hmm.
To stay with Mrs. Kim, she had
which
a harder time.
Such a good storyline, by the way.
Love her. She had a harder time
yeah.
distancing herself from those values.
Right.
Like, initially, she doesn't want to eat french fries because they're the devil's starchy fingers. And she's, like, really taking in what Mrs. Kim says. And we don't know, like,
totally
what she had imposed upon her before that. But
right.
But yeah, she's like taking it all in truth.
She's a serious rule follower for quite a while.
Yeah. And so that could have been
Lane.
But no.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the influence of Lorelai and Rory. Who knows?
Probably. If they're like, hey, want to come to Luke's Diner with us? Yeah. And we know that's a Mrs. Kim approved place, interestingly. it had to be in order for all these scenes to work.
Yeah, right.
Right. But yeah, maybe hanging out with them, she was like, oh, burgers and fries? Yeah.
Always good. Fries are always good.
Yeah. So, and that kind of reminds me of her tools for coping with this repression, you know, and the tough rules and the strictness of her mom.
Yeah.
One of them was hanging out with Lorelai and Rory.
Yeah.
And being in kind of their, quote, you know, Americanized, like very free-flowing, a little more relaxed kind of a life.
Yeah. Very
Lorelai didn't have as many roles.
No.
What else do you think Lane used to kind of cope and deal with all this as a kid and as a teenager?
Yeah, I know. I mean, we were just talking about the music, but I think that really did kind of like carry her through and give her something to love.
Yeah.
And because music, it like fills you in a way. It can tap at your emotions, you know, so if she wasn't allowed to express certain things, maybe through music,
she
was able to experience that and like kind of let them out somewhere.
Yeah.
So it probably gave her so much.
I think so.
But
because there's poetry in music
there,
really.
And she would even talk about like, I'm this kind of mood or that kind of mood and choose a music, you know, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So it was an outlet for all those big emotions. Because we know she's going to talk to her mom. So that must have fed her.
And maybe holding some of them up as icons, too. Like, she was obsessed with Nico. Remember?
Yeah.
And I bet it helped to have someone else to idolize.
Yeah, to idolize. Yep.
In lieu of, I don't know, maybe feeling like your world is kind of small and at times pathetic. To have this, you know, big kind of like rock star to look up to and think, ooh, that's like, what I want
to
be.
To know there's another world or more to the world.
Yeah.
Than,
yeah.
like you're saying, than just what you have there.
Yeah.
I feel like that's so teenager, too, to just like need to idolize.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know?
We've all done that.
Do you know what poster I had? Wait, do you remember?
I mean, yeah. Do you want me to start guessing?
Yeah. Wait, it goes back to.
Of music?
Yeah.
Bryan
One
Adams?
Person. No, before that.
Oh, before that.
Joey McIntyre.
Oh my gosh. You had a Joey Mac.
I never had
a Joey Mac poster.
It was on the back of my door. Nuka's on the black people.
The older sibling always gets better stuff.
You didn't have a Nuka's on the black poster?
No.
Really?
I did not. I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. You know what I'm really sad about?
You always had cooler stuff. Jackie had all these big earrings too. I used to sit on her bed. She had this heart-shaped container of like all these big,
so big
dangly earrings. I had such a fun time just like going through them in the morning and touching them and being like,
"You would pick them out for
me. Ooh, do you want to wear these?" Yeah. I mean, I had suggestions. I wasn't sure if you actually took my suggestions. You did?
Yeah. See, that's like another outlet. For kids, you know, it's an outlet, like fashion.
It is. Jewelry.
Lane double dressed. That's right.
That's true.
She double dressed.
Because she couldn't do a lot of accessorizing.
Because
that was too obvious.
Yeah.
She had to do a shirt under a shirt.
Right. Because even when she goes to the Seventh-day Adventist college, you hear like, I don't know if any of that is true, honestly, but like, no makeup.
Yeah.
What else? It was like no perfume or something. Well, perfume.
And it was like no lip gloss unless it matches your skin.
Yeah.
Or
like nail polish, all kinds of stuff like that. I wonder if that's
Did
true.
Did they have to wear button down shirts?
Maybe.
I wonder.
But that's all another form of self-expression.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about that in our next episode.
Definitely.
A little more of how Lane expressed herself.
Definitely. So I feel like these parental expectations are kind of a theme in the Gilmore Girls series as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, we've compared Lane a little bit to Lorelai. Mm. They both had these upbringings that they were not, you know, not loving, not really a part of their true personality. And they felt like they had to break away.
Yeah.
And I mean, Lorelai's not the only one, right?
No.
Like we were talking about a few others who were breaking away from their family, like even Logan.
No, yeah, it's true.
You know, Mr. Rich, like he, even though it looks like he has this easy life, and to some extent, of course he does.
Yeah.
Like the life that his parents want for him, which is to take over the Huntsberger publishing company and empire, whatever else they had, media conglomerate probably by today.
Yeah, all right.
He says, like, I don't want that life for himself. So he was doing a lot of rebelling. Yeah.
It was forced. It was forced on him throughout
the series.
Yeah. It's like, even though he seems to have endless options, and Rory expresses that, that he's saying, I don't. My expectations are very clear and it's one path.
Yeah.
And that is oppressive and could be a reason for a lot of his rebellion, because he knew that was coming.
Right.
It was made clear to him from day one.
Yes. Yeah,
you're so taking over.
Dropped, got kicked out of prep schools.
Yeah.
He did the life and death brigade.
Yeah.
You know, he took the year off from
Yale
and sailed on a yacht.
Yeah. And crashed it, of course.
Yeah. So that was like his own way, his own wealthy way of rebelling against the Huntsberger expectations.
And kind of the same with Chris, though. That really parallels Chris's experience, where we know that the Haydens had, again, very clear expectations down to, you have to attend this college.
Yeah.
It was Princeton, right?
Princeton.
That they
he was supposed to go to Princeton.
Yeah, just because it's like family legacy.
Yeah.
And so if you know that from a young age, again, like, some kids are okay with that. And they're okay with following path. Like, not Bruce Springsteen. What was his name? Darren Springsteen.
Oh, Darren Springsteen's kids.
You see that there.
Yes.
Like, two of the kids were like right on board with following the full expectations. And then we've got the outlier.
Definitely.
It's like, no, thank you.
Third daughter was not up for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't work for every kid, but some are fine. And so, here we've got like Lorelai, Logan, Christopher.
Yeah.
Then, so they're like the ones who rebelled a bit more.
Yes.
And then Richard, we were thinking about, like, his path was pretty laid out. And I would even say Emily. It's kind of like these wealthy families have very strong expectations on the kids of following these particular paths.
Yeah.
Because Emily talks about, like, having to go to, I don't know if she says having to go to Smith, but it's sort of like, it seemed like an expectation. You go to this college and then you get married.
You do. Yes.
Like, you don't have to study anything serious and then you have to get married.
Right. Although she was interested in history and art history.
Oh, is that what it was?
But then she says, like, but I never really thought I was going to find a, go out and get a job.
Right.
I knew what was next.
Right.
And that was having a husband.
So it's not serious because there's no expectation for what happens after. It's just like, you have to get married after.
But then I love, like, for Emily, you could say her rebellion came in her senior years after Richard died.
Totally.
And she did go out and get a job.
She did.
Finally. And it's like something she was passionate about.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and got, like, rid of the house and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And
rebelled against a
got
whole
a new
lot.
House. Yeah. Like,
and we are going to talk about that in another episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can't talk about rebellion yet.
Because people, townies, it just makes me cry.
That's right.
Makes me sob.
Yeah. Emily's later years. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So that's like the wealthy folks.
Yeah.
And then what about some of our more kind of regular people?
Right.
So we've got Liz. You know, she seemed to rebel
a little bit.
Mostly just like, I think she was rebelling not so much against her father and her family, but like just living in a small
town. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like,
Stars Hollow life.
Yeah,
like, I don't want this for myself. Yeah. I got to get out of here.
Like, you grow up there, you work there, you die there. She was like, nope.
Right. She's probably thinking, I'm not working in the hardware store.
Right.
Nope. Uh-uh. Got to get out of here.
Then,
and, like, what about the Stars Hollow moms, Jackie?
Oh, yeah. See, I know. We talk about, like, parenting with expectations, right?
Yeah.
And, like, walking that line of trying to give your kids what they need versus, like, imposing and forcing.
Mm-hmm.
And those Stars Hollow moms were sort of, like, embodying this type of suburban parent who wants to almost, like, shelter their kid and only allow them certain information so that they have, like, an easy path and they're not too, like, stressed out by the scary topics.
Right.
And we just
won't
talk about them. So exactly. They won't be stressed out about it.
Right.
Like, don't talk about
feel
sex or
guilty
drugs,
about anything.
Yeah. Or feel guilty. Yeah.
So do you think they'd be like the book banners, the Stars Hollow Bombs?
Yeah.
Based on what we saw.
I think they'd be a lot of things.
When Lorelai goes to... But when she goes to visit.
Yeah, they were definitely like a caricature of that whole type.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the censoring parent.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
my kid can't have access to all these types
right.
of information.
I don't even want them to think about teen pregnancy.
Right. It just doesn't exist.
I mean, they are teens.
You're fine.
You kind of want to prepare them, don't you?
They did not.
No, they didn't.
The other one I was thinking about was Sherry.
Yeah.
When before Gigi's born, she's saying stuff about like her coming out as a ballerina. It's like very gendered expectations. Yes. Right
off
the bat.
The 5 p.m. ballerina.
Yeah.
Manny Penny.
Slips out into a tutu.
Yeah, Sherry had specific expectations.
I'm very curious how she would have raised Gigi.
I know.
If she had been the primary caregiver in her life.
I know. You know who I wondered about too? Like, we talked about Kian a bit, and she had her own rebellion. What about cousin Christine?
Oh, Christine,
do you remember?
Love her.
Oh, I wish we'd gotten
her. I love
her.
How fast she talks.
She talks so fast.
Amazing.
Oh my God, I bet the Paladinos loved her.
Right?
They probably brought her on specifically for that reason.
Totally, yeah.
I wonder what else she's done. I want to look up her IMDb.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we'd had more cousin Christine.
She was great.
She was so funny.
And she could have been such a good friend to Lane throughout the years.
Yes.
Like, where was she?
Because it seemed like, you know, they show her all quiet and submissive.
Obeying.
In front of her. Yeah. Oh, wait, is it Aunt Christine? Was it the aunt that was Christine or was it cousin? Did I get it wrong?
Oh, shoot.
No, yeah, Christine, go help your cousin.
Christine.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, what was the aunt's name? Now I'm forgetting.
I can't remember.
It's okay. I love when the aunt shows up at the
house. Yeah, she comes back.
With the invitations.
Yeah. She's like almost as scary as Mrs. Kim. She's like
so
serious.
She is. Anyway, so yeah, like cousin Christine, we know she's super chatty when the adults aren't around. And then she's like getting into rock music too.
Yeah.
She's getting into Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
And asking Lane about all these bands.
Yeah.
Lane is not ready to receive
she's
it
not
at
in
that
place.
Moment.
Yeah.
But like, oh my gosh. So it seems like Christine's rebelling against the same culture too.
It would seem that she's trying to be like Lane.
Yeah.
Like she's using Lane as a role model of something that she could aspire to find her own life.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool.
I love
but
that character.
I know, yeah.
And then Mrs. Kim herself.
Yeah, we were kind of thinking about that in the beginning of this episode about...
Yeah.
Her own path to where she got to now.
Yeah.
Like, where did she come from?
Yeah.
We know her mother was Buddhist and serious Buddhist.
Serious.
So, and we also know that her mother, whose name we don't know.
I don't think so.
Does not know that Mrs. Kim is not a practicing Buddhist.
For years and years.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Kim moved across the world to get away from her mom. Which is why, again, I always think like, yeah, is it possible Mrs. Kim was expecting Lane to move
right
across the country at least?
Original rebeller. She mentioned something about being in like a tambourine band at one point.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
How did that come about? Because that seems a little risque.
Jackie, I Googled like Korean women's tambourine band.
No way.
I did a few different variations on it. Nothing really came up. I was expecting more.
Yeah.
Really, most of what came up was like the song Tambourine Band
okay.
by Bob Dylan. Like, no, I need a tambourine band of women. And I think I tried.
In a van.
I got rid of what. Yeah, I tried all different search terms. Nothing was happening, but.
Yeah.
I tried.
Oh, well.
I tried. But, okay. But Mrs. Kim also wanted to still please her mom. Just like Lane wanted to please her mom.
Right. I mean, she so puts like, on two weddings.
I'm rebelling.
For her daughter.
Just
for her mother.
Like, great lengths.
Yes.
To cover it up and still have you see me as the obedient, submissive daughter that you always imagined I would be.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe they all do, you know, the Kims do want to maintain their relationships. That is important to them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to completely cut out their mothers or
whoever
is important in their life. But they're still, you can see the struggle that it creates in them trying to find their own identity.
It's hard for a kid to do.
It
to
is.
Maintain both.
Very much so. And we can't wait to talk about how Lane does that.
Yeah.
We're going to save that for our next episode.
Yeah, because there's just way too much to fit into one.
Yeah. There's some good stuff there.
Yeah. So tune in next time. We're going to talk about Lane's Rebellion.
Yeah.
And tell us what you think. So let's get Totsied.
Let's
Jack,
do it.
Jack, how did Gilmore show up in your life this week?
Well, I happened to eat a pub mix. I feel like I didn't present that well. I ate. That was like really weird.
No, like you, what? You ate a what?
I happened to eat. But there was some like pub mix we had bought from the store and it was delicious.
Oh yeah. But is that like trail mix? What's
Pub
mix?
Oh, you know
mix?
What it's like? It's like Chex Mix. It's like a fancy okay. Chex Mix
yeah.
kind of thing. It was like yeah, from Whole
but
Foods
like non-checks. yeah. So they call it something
exactly.
else.
Uh-huh. There's a bunch of other stuff in there, including wasabi peas. So all of a sudden
oh,
I'm like eating and I was like, oh, I think that's a wasabi pea. And it was so, so spicy. And all I could think of was Marty putting an entire handful of those in his mouth. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I don't think you could survive this. Like,
I would die.
And I like spicy.
Yeah.
But it was pretty intense. And I like wasabi.
That sounds really intense.
Yeah, it was funny.
That could be an interesting variation. Do you ever watch the Hot Ones show?
Where no, they, oh, I've seen clips.
On YouTube. It's pretty funny.
That is kind of
Andy's
bananas.
Into it. And we watch, basically they eat really.
It's wings, right?
Wings. And they get hotter and hotter yeah. as the show goes on. They interview a celeb and ask them questions the whole time.
The concept is very funny.
Deep, thoughtful questions. And it's so funny. You're watching the celeb try to answer questions. And meanwhile, steam is just coming out of their heads.
Nothing like torturing celebrities.
I know. And I'm like, why do they sign up for this?
I know, right?
Do they get to like donate money to a charity? Like what?
Like how
why
many can you eat?
And I'm like, I don't think that's the reason. Yeah. I think it's just to
it's
say
just
they've
fun.
Done it.
Yeah.
Like that's not fun. That's not my version of fun. Can you just let's just cut straight to the ice cream.
There you go. All right, how to show up for you?
Okay. Well, I have two short ones, but one of them is we were kind of setting up this area for my daughter to have just like slightly more organized like office and art supplies. Ooh. You know, just get like the crayons and the everything.
Yeah, cool.
Kind of off the desk. And so we did a little pegboard on the wall and it has little
oh,
cups
nice.
That you can fill with stuff. It's so cute.
I have seen that. That's
and
cool.
as we were putting it together, I stepped back and I was like, this is really coming together. Or like, this is really coming along.
Wait, when is
and
that?
And it reminded me of when Emily had just redone the pool house for Rory.
Oh,
and she
gosh.
Goes in there without her permission. And she's like, this is really coming
That's
along.
That's like a throwaway line, though. She
it
like
is.
Says it on the fly.
I know.
Keeps going. I can't believe you.
But it's like, it's the tone
and, yeah.
of the way she says mm-hmm. it. Because I think I forgot the exact words, but it just, yeah, it had that tone.
That's
of like,
funny
this
that
is
you
really
pulled that up. Together. Like, that's a deep cut.
It is. I'm like, I feel like Emily. All right. And my second Totsie is visual. So I'm going to show you my hair
yeah.
right now, Jackie.
Did you take a picture of this?
I have. Yeah. Okay. I'll share it with everybody. Right.
You're
I
just
kinda,
like
I
Lucy,
like Lucy, Olivia, and Rory when they went to Stars Hollow and dyed their hair, and they were looking like a girl band.
Yeah.
Because I have hair tinsel.
It's
that's what
so
it's called
fun.
In my hair, and it's gold
I
and
really
sparkly,
want it.
Which kind of looks nice.
It
I think
does.
With my brown hair,
it does it looks really good.
It's like it. I don't know.
It sparkles. Do you think
it's, yeah, it's a little chic, right?
I want one.
My friend, I saw my college friends. Last weekend and my friend Melissa is like very crafty and she does it for her daughters
so cute
so I was you know feeling like a little kid
yeah,
embracing my inner
weekend.
Child
yeah
and, but also just having fun and the cool thing about it and by the way this is not an ad you can like you can wash it in the shower just like the rest of your hair
so
you can
cool.
put like I put products in I actually wrapped it around the curling
Did
iron
really?
So that it would do the same thing as the rest of my hair.
I need that.
Because it looks better, like, I think in straight hair. And I'm like,
oh,
well, let me just
good.
See if it'll curl.
Yeah.
And it did.
Your hair actually looks like Rory's when she has it curly.
Oh, really?
Like, you have very similar hair.
Thanks.
Yeah, it looks so good.
Thanks. So hair tinsel, it's pretty fun. And it can just, like, come out again when you're done with it.
Amazing.
There's a bead that keeps it in on the top.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Super fun.
You ready to join the girl band? All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us for our first Lane episode. We can't wait to keep going with it. And we'd love it if you come over onto Instagram at Gabbing Gilmore, and that's two G's in the middle. And please tell us what you think. Give us your ideas. And then make sure you hit follow in the upper right-hand corner of the app so that you never miss an episode.
Awesome. Gabbing Gilmore is produced with support from Studio 20 South. Cover art by MGI Studios. See you next time. Copper boom!